My name is Pastor Gideon Knight from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, London in the UK. Wherever you are listening to this message from, I pray that God's hand will reach out to you and bring revelation and understanding to you so that you can experience the presence, the power of God to do what God wants you to do. God, today we want to continue from where we ended last week by saying that the level of a leader's revelation of the Word of God, the divine encounters and experience of the supernatural he or she has, will determine the spiritual activity for that church. Yes, if a leader is receiving a lot of revelation from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit and having supernatural encounters with God and having the experience of what he or she is receiving, then that will determine the spiritual activity in the church. That church will be powerful. The more of these that you have, the more the church will be very spiritually alive. Now, Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and also verse 17 to 20, told us this, which I want to summarize for you. The Apostle Paul tells us that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our adoption, so that the Holy Spirit will deposit in us an inheritance of power. But we need to pray for the revelation and understanding to experience this power. Yes, God has deposited in you an inheritance of power by the Holy Spirit. But prayer will activate these things. Similarly, Apostle Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in California also wrote a book. The title is The Resting Place. In it, I've decided to quote some parts of it just for your information to help us. He says, quote, "One of the Holy Spirit's primary functions is to discover what lies in the depths of God's heart for us. He leads us into an understanding by experience to help us realize our inheritance." That is very powerful, that the Holy Spirit will help you to understand what is in God's heart, just like we're talking about last week. And once you understand God's heart, you will come to experience, and realize the inheritance God has deposited in us. So at this point, I want to talk about the presence of God and anointing. Presence of God and anointing. King Solomon, he was the third king of the kingdom of Israel when they were united as one people. He, King Solomon, was a leader who had revelations from God. He had divine encounters from God. He had understanding and personal experience of what was in God's heart and mind. Solomon therefore knew he and his people had to worship God in his presence. Now, he also understood that the power of God does not activate by coincidence. The power of God does not just come by coincidence, but with purpose. So he knew that purpose, and the purpose for his understanding was to pray. So what I'm saying here is King Solomon did not expect God to show his power by accident to the people of Israel. He knew it was his duty as a leader to create the condition, in fact, to create the atmosphere, as we say in our church, for God's presence and power to flow. So he knelt down on a platform at the gates of all his people and prayed, and God showed up. You can find a reference to this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. The whole of the chapter tells you what Solomon did to activate the presence of God when he was ready to unveil the opening of the temple of God that he built. So we're now moving into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we are going to read the first four verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 to 4 from the New King James Version. And this is what it says. When Solomon had finished praying, hear that. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercies endure forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. This reading is from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 to 4 from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, King Solomon, as a leader of his people, was the only man left standing when the glory of God, that means the power and the presence, when the fire came to rest on the temple. He was the only man standing. And when it came to rest on the temple, he, Solomon, offered sacrifices before the Lord, and the people joined him. The question is, how was he and why was he the only man standing? And even the priest and the musicians couldn't minister, because he was a man of prayer who knew God's heart. And he knew that he had to activate the presence of God to fill his temple, the glory of God to come. And the way to do it is to be on his knees in the gaze of all the people to pray. And he prayed a very long prayer. Now, today my question is, will you today yearn for the Holy Spirit, who is the glory of God, to come and rest upon you, just like it rested on the temple, so that you will serve him and his purpose? King Solomon's spiritual growth as a result of divine encounters with God and experience made him a carrier of God's presence to serve the Lord and his people. We can, yes, thus say that King Solomon was a very anointed man, at least in the first 20 years of his reign in Israel. The anointing, therefore, is, you may ask, he was an anointed man. What is the anointing? Yes, the anointing, therefore, is the supernatural presence of God that is experienced and felt in a particular place. When it descends in the place, it takes over and the atmosphere is cleared for miracles. That is God supernaturally intervening in people's lives and activities with a sudden burst of power to bring restoration. Now, when we look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17, we remember there was a story that Jesus Christ went into a place and scribes, Pharisees, and all important people came and crowded a big room somewhere. And some people had a lame man who was a man who was very ill. They wanted to bring him to Jesus. They couldn't. So what did they do? They opened the roof and let a person through. And Jesus Christ saw them and commented upon their faith. But what I want you to look at in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, is that it says, when Jesus sat down, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, when the presence of God comes, when there is anointing on you, when the supernatural power of God descends upon you, when the Holy Spirit fills you, the power of the Lord will be present to do something for a purpose, will heal. The anointing is also the supernatural presence of God that descends on the person to carry his messages and to do God's works. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, when Peter, the Holy Spirit, came upon him on the day of Pentecost, we hear him saying that Jesus Christ, a man accredited or attested. When we say you are accredited, that means you've been proven. It's like you had an examination and passed and had a certificate. He's been accredited with power, miracles, signs, and wonders. That's how Peter defined Jesus Christ. So he was an anointed man, and therefore he was accredited with power, miracles, signs, and wonders, and mighty deeds, and in fact, powerful word from God as well. When the anointing descends in the place or comes on a person, we experience his goodness and mercies, just like the people of Israel were saying He says, "For the Lord is good, for his mercies endures forever." And that activates them all to worship God. So what are we trying to bring across here? That when the anointing comes, we experience, and when the presence of God is in any place or upon someone, we experience the goodness and mercies of God. His goodness, let's try and pick some of them. The goodness, we see that we have more revelation, we have more power, we have miracles, we have signs, we have wonders, we even have financial blessings, and we have favor, and we experience God's love in a big, big way. Then when we're talking about his message, we can pick messages like, we see his salvation. God have mercy on sinners, and they become saved. Lost people come home, and he's forgive people who have done so many bad things, who have gone further away, who have even cursed God or don't want God or said negative things about God. He forgives them their sins. Whatever your sin is, his mercy brings repentance. When you repent, he forgives you. His mercy also brings healing. That is to show God's kindness. His mercy brings healing. That is God's kindness. His mercy also brings resurrection. Yes, many people come back to life. God's mercy brings deliverance. Because imagine somebody who has gone through a generational curse, or who is suffering from an issue of blood for 12 years, or some people who have been bound by 8 years of demonic activities, and God comes in and he set them free because his power and his presence was there for a purpose, and in this case, deliverance, provision, salvation, forgiveness, healings, and resurrections. When the presence of God descends in a place or fills someone, people see the glory, which in this case I'm introducing the Greek word called kabod. They experience the glory, which is the power of God. Kabod is the power of God. So the glory of God that came at the time of Solomon, when he opened the temple, when he prayed, the glory means that the power of God was present. And that was what the power of God did. The kabod was there. People also experience the glory of God in the form of his light and his reflection on them. The light and the reflection also has a Greek word called doxa. So when you see the light and the glory, that means not only do you see the kabod, which is the power of God, but you also experience his presence. And you experience his light, meaning revelation comes to you. They have more revelation of God. Something changes in them, and they carry something tangible about them. So when the presence of God descends in their place or descends upon someone and fill that person, something changes in that person. Something happens in that person. And what happens is that there's a massive change in them. You carry something with you. You carry something tangible about you. And that is called anointing. So God wants us to have anointing. Now, I want to quote from Bill Johnson again. His book, the same book, The Resting Place, also captures the presence of God and the anointing that comes on people in the following quote. I quote here, "There is no greater privilege than being a host to God himself. Neither is there a greater responsibility. Everything about him, God, is extreme. He is overwhelmingly good, awe-inspiring to the max, and frighteningly wonderful in every possible way. He is powerful yet gentle, both aggressive and subtle and perfect, while embracing us in the midst of our imperfection. Yet few people are aware of the assignment to host him. Fewer yet have said yes." Unquote. The question is, will you say yes to his presence to rest on you today? I want to say yes, and I want to say yes, and yes again for myself. But will you, in your home right now, will you say yes to the presence of God to come? Now I want us to read another scripture, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, to look at somebody whom the Spirit of God, the anointing of God came upon. That person said yes and was highly anointed, as in the Bible. And that person's name was Mary, the mother of Jesus. This woman heard the word of God that the angels came to announce to her about the impending coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. The angels were announcing the birth of Jesus, a story that most of us know. But today I want you to look at it from the angle of the word, the spirit, and the power. And of course, the presence and the anointing that comes upon people, and that in this case, that came upon Mary. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. It means she was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and she carried that spirit with her. Mary visited her much older relative, Elizabeth, when the latter was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. An encounter happened at the time. There was a stir in the womb of Elizabeth. You can read that for yourself in Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 44. Luke 1, 34 to 44. When Mary visited Elizabeth, the baby in her womb started jumping for joy. I remember real stories in my own home. I remember that when my kids were in the mother's room, my wife used to tell me that each time I come from work and I enter the house and open the house, there was a churning in her womb. The babies rejoice because they hear my voice. And I've heard not only my wife, but many women say similar things, that when the father comes home, they really rejoice. Yes, at that time, the Lord of Lords was in the womb of Mary. So when she visited Elizabeth and Elizabeth met her, the baby in Elizabeth's womb stared and jumped for joy. So I can say that the presence of God upon one brings acceleration. So we see here that the presence of God upon Mary accelerated, as it were, the coming of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, if you read the scripture properly, you hear that that moment that Mary entered the house of Elizabeth and the baby jumped in her womb, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. That is incredible. So Holy Spirit, an anointed person who is Mary, goes to the house of Elizabeth, and she got anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit too. And also the baby who was in Elizabeth's womb himself was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. So now we want to say that presence brings acceleration. The anointing releases further presence and revelation, leading to more encounters. This is the basis for acceleration of the spoken word, the prophetic, fresh worship, and power. You can read that from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 55, and also from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Here you see that each time the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, or Mary received the Holy Spirit and received the message, or the Holy Spirit was accelerated and Elizabeth got it, together they started prophesying. Together they started singing fresh worship, bringing worship that activated the supernatural. Something powerful was happening, and there was a mighty, mighty release of power because of what these two women were doing, because of the Holy Spirit. Also in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, we read that the shepherd had a visitation from the angel of the Lord. That was an encounter about the birth of Jesus Christ. They heard the word of the Lord and did not sit on it. Hear this, they did not sit on the word of God when they got it, but immediately acted on it and went to find where Mary, Joseph, and the child were, and told the words God had told them at their hearing, and the hearing not just of them, but many other people. Mary, upon hearing the word by the shepherd, received revelation of it and kept it in her heart. The Bible says she kept it in her heart. She became, therefore, a carrier of good news, a carrier of good news, and the presence of the Lord. The others who were around her marveled at the same words, but did nothing with it. If you read it, I was so surprised when I saw that Mary kept the words in her heart, but the others marveled. How many times do we go to church and a wonderful message is preached to us and we marvel and we are so pleased, but we do absolutely nothing with it. But Mary kept the message in her heart. Mary had to be a carrier of the presence because the child to be born to her was no ordinary child. She needed the kibbutz, meaning the power and the doxa, the presence of God, to bring up such a child. If you are pregnant by a child who is filled with the Holy Spirit, if you yourself is filled with the Holy Spirit, what comes out of you is going to be powerful. The presence of God will be felt wherever you go. And that is exactly what it is. So when you are anointed, you have to ask God, what is the message for me? What do you want me to do with it? And God will show you what to do with it. And when you come to understand it, you will know that you are not carrying an ordinary message. You're not carrying an ordinary presence. You are carrying miracles. You are carrying signs. You are carrying wonders. You are carrying power. You are carrying presence that will influence other people for God. So don't underestimate what God is going to do in your life. Yes, she was carrying a no ordinary child, and therefore she needed both the kibbutz, the power, and the doxa of God to bring up such a child. Mary indeed needed all the power and the presence at every stage of the child's growth to be able to handle all the encounters and revelations about Jesus that she subsequently experienced in Jesus' life. Just pausing to drink a little bit of water. Now I want to give you an example of some of the things that Mary had to prepare herself for, which really came into Jesus' life. I mean, if you're a mother of Jesus Christ, it must be exciting, but yet very challenging. And the only way you can cope is to carry the Holy Spirit with you. Now, you think about it, from the time of Simeon and Anna, when they saw Jesus Christ brought to the temple on the eighth day, to perform the rituals according to scripture, they had to prophesy on this man. And I remember, Simeon prophesying things that were wonderful, blessings and everything, and also at the back of it, saying things like, this child is going to bring trouble and pain to the mother, and is going to be not only the Redeemer of Israel, but also going to bring, as it were, trouble unto them because of the authorities. This is frightening, but you need to be someone who is anointed to be able to take such a message. You also have to think about, Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, going into the temple and explaining scripture. For 3 days, they went to Jerusalem for sacrifice in the first festival. And when they were coming back for 3 days, the parents were assuming that he was with their cousins, their aunties, which is something that we do whenever we travel or we go out somewhere with our kids. When they are with their aunties and uncles, we don't really worry too much. So Mary was no different. She didn't worry too much because she thought the kid was with them. But then suddenly she realized he wasn't. And after 3 days, he went to find him in the temple. That might be very distressing. And normally as a parent, when you see such a child, it's like you'll be so excited but also so angry that it brought so much anguish to you. So Mary went and said, "Son, why have you done this to me? Why have you stayed behind? Where are you here?" And Jesus' reply was, "Woman, don't you know that I have to do my Father's work?" It might sound like Jesus Christ being very rude, but Mary did not answer back. A 12-year-old, using words like that, she did not answer back. You know why she didn't answer back? Because she carried the presence of God. She's kept the word of God in her heart, and she understood precisely what Jesus was saying. But the other people around, the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the Bible said they marveled at that saying. They were surprised, probably like a child who talked to the mother that way. But the mother understood, because if you prepare yourself, you understand all things. And another way that I want to bring to your attention is when you look at John chapter 2, that Jesus Christ performing the first miracle that was recorded, that he turned water into wine. He didn't come and say, "Bring water for me to turn into wine." It was Mary who did the initiation. How did she know that? She must be an anointed woman of God knowing that the presence of God was there to bring a miracle by turning water into wine. She must have been praying, and she must have known. So when she went to Jesus Christ and said, "Son, they have run out of wine," the answer was also very sharp from human point of view. But Mary said, "Whatever this man tells you to do, do." What a faith. You need revelation of what is going on. So when miracles happen, you will not be surprised. When signs and wonders happen, you will not be surprised. This is strong faith because she carried anointing with her. There was an acceleration of the Holy Spirit presence in Mary's life. She was as if she was accelerating even the death of Jesus Christ on the cross to save mankind. Because Jesus said, "My time is not up." And we know that that meant that it is not my time to go to the cross to give my blood to save many. But Mary was accelerating it. So the presence of God accelerates, hey, the goodness of God. And I just want you to know that God is there to help us out. And Mary had to understand the teachings and the actions of Jesus Christ about the kingdom of God, about the healing the sick, about the blind seeing, the lame walking, casting out demons. I mean, she hadn't even had anybody cast out demons. How did she cope with all those things that your son is doing? Because of the anointing that was on her, the presence. You see, when you are in the church and things like that is happening, people are scared. That means they are not anointed. That means they are not tapping into the presence of God. But those who are anointed and tapping into the presence of God, they become comfortable. Or if they don't even become comfortable, they understand it. And their spirit tuning into it. And as their spirit tuning into it, they themselves begin to pray into it because they've kept the word of God in their heart. How will Mary cope with, crucifixion and rising from the dead? How could she cope with all these things? It's because of the presence of God and the anointing. We need the acceleration of his supernatural presence to be able to cope with all that stuff to help us spread the good news of the kingdom of God. I just want to talk briefly about the fact that the anointing and brings transformation. Anointing brings transformation. The anointing should also transform you as a person inwardly. If you say that you are anointed, we don't only want to see the miracles and everything, but you yourself need to be transformed inwardly. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the Bible says that now you don't need to be taught because you have the anointing. The Spirit of God is upon you. So the Spirit of God should teach you how to behave yourself, how to conduct yourself. Now that you have an anointing upon you, you should behave differently. There's got to be a transformation on your life. And Luke chapter 2, verse 49 to 50 tells us that there was so much transformation in Mary's life, which really excited me about her. Mary learned to hear and understand the Lord in every situation. She kept the word in her heart. The word in her heart did the transforming work for her to be able to know what Jesus would do and her own responses at any time as a mother. But let me contrast that to Samson, another man in the Old Testament who was highly anointed. You can read that in Judges chapter 13, and you can read that in Judges chapter 13 to chapter 16. When you read through those four chapters, you see that Samson was highly anointed. But you know what? Samson did not allow the anointing to transform him. So sometimes somebody can be an anointed man of God, anointed woman of God. If the anointing does not transform them, if they do not allow the anointing to transform, that means if they do not keep the word of God, at the end of the day, sometimes they fall into so much trouble. Sometimes I hear there are great men and women of God, and when you get close to them, you see that they are horrible people. And they are not the same person who is preaching on the stage and the same person who is at home. And I want you to understand that anointing should transform you. I also want to talk about preachers and demonstrators of the kingdom of God. You see, God wants us preachers to demonstrate the kingdom of God. In his letter to the church of Corinth, the Apostle Paul said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, and I'm reading from the New International Version, UK version, the Anglicized version, and he said that some of you have become arrogant and puffed up, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. I like that. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. You see, some people were talking. They were amazing preachers. They would plant their sword to the ground and people would clap them. And everybody said, oh wow, this person is anointed. But Paul is saying that I will want to see what power they have. The anointing should be the kabod and should be the doxa, the power and the presence. So I want to see what power they have. So Paul was not interested in people who are puffed up by information and knowledge of the word of God and only talk about theory, but want to know what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, according to a New King James Version, but in power. Wow, this is really, really awesome. Information and knowledge of the word of God is only words if there is no demonstration of power accompanying what we believe. So I would like to quote another favorite, writer and apostle that I really respect a lot. Apostle Guillermo Maldonado wrote in his book, Divine Encounter with the Holy Spirit. He said this, we cannot claim a spiritual reality without showing its evidence in the natural. That is why we need to demonstrate what we say and believe. It is easy to speak of something we have not experienced when our credibility is not at stake. Yes, when your credibility is not at stake, you can say, oh, God can heal. But then when you have to heal, you pray a quick prayer that you don't even believe in it. There's no passion. There is no commitment to that. He said that when your credibility is not at stake, you just come and say whatever. That's why many people don't preach about miracles. That's why many people don't talk about miracles. That's why many people don't want to experience miracles, because they're all full of words. Hey, in other words, a demonstration of the power makes us credible witnesses of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In conclusion, what am I saying today? I will take a reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 45, New King James Version. It says that blessed is she or he who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Shall I read again? Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So today I just wanted to say that blessed are you who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which the Lord has told you. If you will believe, you are blessed, for God will fulfill the very things that he has told you. So the question is, what has God told you today? What revelation have you had from the Lord and the word of God today? Hey, God bless you. Amen and amen.